The question was asked, we are repeatedly taught that the Jewish people have a job to impact the world. And the question is, if we in our little country are ethical, moral, monotheistic, observant to the Torah, how does that affect the world? And this concept breaks up into different levels. So we'll begin with the most basic level, and then we'll evolve to a deeper concept, okay? On the most basic level, let's imagine for a minute a classroom, okay? Let's imagine that I'll draw two scenarios. Story that happened this week. I heard it from the teacher himself. Teacher walks into class and kids are hiding and teacher says, okay, please, let's sit down, let's start class. The teacher sits down to start class and there's a kid hiding under his desk and the teacher doesn't know. And the teacher's giving class and the whole class is watching the kid under the desk. Now, the way the desk must have been set up, I didn't see it, must have been something like this where the teacher couldn't see under the desk. So the whole class is watching as the kid lifts the teacher's pant leg and starts tickling him. True story that happened this week. So kids are like third grade, fourth grade. The teacher jumped. He wasn't sure if it was a snake or what. Now the teacher is like 6 foot eight, huge guy, and he gave a kick and the kid went flying across the room. Like he didn't know. He called me up afterwards, like all shooken up. He said, I kicked the kid and the kid went flying. He said, I didn't even know I was kicking the kid. Like that's how I got to hear the story. But you can imagine that one little kid sitting there under the table, and the whole class, their perspective, again, when a teacher walks in and he's 6 foot eight and he's like three times as wide as I am, they have respect. And he happens to be a person worth respecting. And then one little kid can just sit there and do this. And the whole class suddenly is not so respectful of the teacher. Maybe the kick put things back in balance. Could be. So we can impact the world, and it doesn't matter how big we are. Meaning, you can be a little kid on a big teacher, you can make a huge difference in the classroom. And that's true not only for a child in the classroom, that's true also for the world. Again, if we begin with the negative, so then initially people were embarrassed to say what Hitler openly said. But when a person keeps pushing what he wants to drive for, he can ultimately move the world. And that's in the negative. Now we go to the positive. Let's imagine a class where, another story. I sat with a child last year. And I said to him, I was invited to a party where you guys ended something you had learned. You had made a siyum. I said to the kid, you know, I noticed one kid in the class that everyone laughs at. So the kid said, yeah, he's a funny kid. I said, I don't think he's a funny kid. I think he's a kid that's suffering. And I think the class is picking on him. So he said, no, he laughs too. So I said, no, he laughs because he doesn't have a choice. What's he going to do? I think you guys are picking on him. So the kid says, maybe. And I said, well, what are you going to do about it? And the kid said, the rest of the class is picking on him. What do you want me to do about it? And I said, all it takes is one kid to treat him respectfully and tell him and invite him when you're doing things with other kids. And the whole class can change. If you treat him respectfully, if you treat him like a human being, if you don't make fun of him and you don't partake when other people are laughing, and when positive things are happening, you'll invite him and you'll help him succeed. He'll be on your team when you succeed. You could change the kid's role in the class. I'm happy to say I was invited to see him again by that class this year, and that kid's a totally different person. The kid was being made fun of because one child decided to take him under his wings and decided, I'm going to treat him nicely. I'm going to try to make an impact so he's viewed differently in the class. So again, I can't say that's what made the difference. I don't know. Maybe I'm not in the class. Maybe they had a better teacher. Maybe the kid matured. Maybe a million things happened. I can't know for sure. But we can understand the idea that one person can affect a much larger group, one person's behavior. So on the most basic level, if we just take a simple fact, in Judaism, a husband has to treat his wife respectfully. Simple. Okay? So for 2,000 years, men were treating women like imbeciles. Throughout the world, right? And the Puritans had a law that if when they settled America, right? If a woman speaks disrespectfully to her husband, then he has the right to take her to the town square and put her in a dock. What's that called? Where they put... Stock, yeah. And then he puts a clip on her tongue and she stands, sits there with her tongue stuck out for a half hour, an hour, 2 hours, as long as he wants. What was the rule of thumb? The rule of thumb was when you beat your wife, you shouldn't take a stick that's bigger than the size of your thumb. That's where the word rule of thumb comes from. So it shouldn't, okay, so, but in Judaism, if a person there does that, the rabbis would beat the daylights out of him. The rabbis forbade ever a person is supposed to treat his wife with such respect. For 2,000 years, this has been the case. I'm not talking about today where the world is pro all kinds of rights. I'm talking about 150 years ago when a woman couldn't vote in the United States or own land or sue her husband. I'm talking about 500 years ago. I'm talking about 1,000 years ago and 2,000 years ago and 3,000 years ago. I'm talking about the King David who's dancing in front of the Aron and his wife isn't scared to walk out in front of the whole crowd and make fun of her husband, the king, in front of everyone. Right? That just shows you where what a woman's standing was 3,000 years ago. So, when we have these value systems, when in Judaism a group of converts came to King David and they had a complaint, and on their behalf King David executed from the royal family people, and the whole world heard how in Judaism a person who converted was given enough, as so many rights that he could have people from the royal family executed and hung publicly, out of value to the life of people who converted to Judaism, the whole world was in awe. And this goes on when people would ascend to the temple and they'd see the rituals and they'd see the respect and they'd see what monotheism is all about. When people saw Jewish education. So the Jewish people's impact on the world, there are phenomenal statistics. We'll take one and you can extrapolate it. After the destruction of the Second Temple, you had tens of thousands of Romans converting to Judaism. Why? They just destroyed the temple. And today, we have thousands upon thousands of people, of Germans converting to Judaism. This is a recurring theme in Jewish history. When people brush up against the Jewish people, they say, wow, wait, there's something amazing here. And so our impact has repeatedly been, in the most simplistic way, when people see the way we live our lives, our value system, so that affects the world. That's just step one, saying that's on the most basic level, that when we do things the way we should do things, it affects the world. I think that aside from the economic interests of Africa, the African countries, to make treaties with us, there's also a certain awe. There is. They look and they see. Look at what people can accomplish when they use their brains. They're not trying to con people. They're not trying to use force. They're not using the raw materials of the United States or Canada. They're using their brains. There's a tremendous impact on the world even today that the people of Israel are having on many, many, many levels. That's on a simple level. On a deeper level, we believe that the world is really one unit, and that when a tremendously pious act is done, it affects everyone. When we're careful to learn Torah here, we affect Jews all over the world because we've made the world a better place on a spiritual level. And it affects not only Jews, it affects non-Jews as well. Chazal told us that when God comes to judge the world on Rosh Hashanah, Bezat Hashem, in 3 months, Hashem judges the whole world at large, not just the Jewish people. It's judgment day for the world. We are, so to speak, the kings of the world. We have responsibility to the world. By the way, in Judaism, the idea of being king is not, ooh, everyone should honor him, respect him, look up to him. It's he's responsible for everyone. He should take care of everyone. He has a responsibility. Stemming from that responsibility, they have to respect him. But it's not, the focus of being king is not that he wears royal garb. The focus is the responsibility. So, on a spiritual level, we believe that when we do things right, it affects the whole world. It's a scary thought, because a person sitting in front of his computer screen at 1 o'clock in the morning likes to think, it's not such a big deal what I'm doing now. But if a person were to think that if I'm doing things that are inappropriate, I'm affecting the whole world, and I'm definitely affecting other people on a spiritual level, I've brought the world to a different place, so then a person has a different responsibility with what they've done. A person has to remain normal. You know, if a person walks away from his computer screen and he hears there was a bombing in Chicago and he says, oh no, it's because of what I just did, that he can go crazy, right? But we don't know the links that happen in heaven. But we do, we are taught that on some level, we do affect one another. The mere fact that we're one body, all of humanity.